Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
It's time for Seminole Headlines, featuring WarChant.com's Jeff Cameron, managing editor Ira Schofel, and senior writer Corey Clark. Your weekly dose of all things FSU, pistols, and pies starts right now. Here's Jeff Cameron.
Two Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV this hour. Brought to you by our dear friends at Birch Orthodontics, where the new year will see my youngest son fitted for braces and my oldest removing braces. All from Birch Orthodontics. Yay, Birch Orthodontics, always. And we thank her and that great staff for their support. Ira, take it away.
It's a circle of braces life. Yeah. One gets them on, one takes them off. The circle that my kids went through as well at Birch Orthodontics. If you are in Tallahassee or Leon County, it's really the only place to get your orthodontic work for you or your kids. It's never too late. You can get orthodontic work later in life as well. They do great work. The Invisalign, regular traditional braces in different colors, great customer service, payment plans, free consultations. You'd be foolish to go anywhere else. BirchOrthodontics.com is our website, and call today and they'll set up a free consultation for you.
Corey, I got to give you credit for wearing the champion sweatshirt today. Going old school, buddy.
Yeah, so my kid has Brady has a champion hoodie that he wears all the time. So I thought it would be funny if I bought one for myself and then we could go as twins to certain things just to try to embarrass him in front of his friends. He's not a big fan of it. And the Braves sweatshirt that I wear all the time, the World Series one that I got like a month or two ago, I bought him one of those as well. So we got two chances to go as twins. He's not a fan of either one.
Double the fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, I just want to be the dad that embarrasses him.
And dresses like his 13-year-old.
Hey, man, what's the matter with that?
Hey, you took shots at my address to my daughter on New Year's
Eve.
Yeah,
that's true. Hey, Jeff, you'll appreciate this. I told Ira's daughter, Alexa, who's very talented screenwriter in the film school at Florida State, or will be. Film school, right?
She's in theater school.
I was like, when you make a ton of money in Hollywood writing these scripts, can you get your dad a new wardrobe? Just a few grand to change it out a little bit.
Ira wears what's appropriate for Ira to wear. Like, I think that's his shirt is it. That means, like, if Ira's
his game.
This was like 2 days after everybody gave Corey grief for wearing a Salt Life t-shirt when I don't know when the last time Corey's been fishing boat.
How did you end up with a Salt Life shirt anyhow?
I bought it as a joke. Apparently all my Christmas gifts were to be a joke. But, yeah, I liked the way it fit. But, yes, I was like, this will be funny if I wear a Salt Life shirt up to corner pocket. I'll have conversations that I know nothing about. But it's fun. It'll be fun. It'll be a good conversation starter.
All right, let's get to the questions. Here we go. Let's start with Facebook. If you had to rank the football programs in the state of Florida, where does FSU currently stand? Where do you see us in 3 to 5 years? That's from Ryan.
Programs?
I think they're all tied for first or all tied for last, however you want to look at it.
Well, okay. It's an interesting question because Florida's going through changes. They did just beat us on the field yet again. But
they looked like crap doing it. They looked like crap in their bowl game. I really felt like Florida State lost that game more than Florida won it. And the guy who won them that game, I don't even know. We're not even 100% sure their quarterback, if he's the future for them. They have a new coaching staff. The players, I just thought the lack of discipline in that team, which was on display again in their bowl game, they've got a lot of problems there. So even just the fact that they've been beating Florida State doesn't mean that they're on a much more solid footing as a program than Florida State.
If we're doing the projections for 3 years from now, I feel pretty good. I hear you, Ira. I'm just saying if we were going to submit a ranking at this point, how many years in a row has Florida State lost to Florida and Florida had better players on that field on that Saturday? Right. I would have to put Florida ahead of Florida State in the immediate. In the future, I'm like you. I lean towards Florida State. I'm sure Florida fans would beg to differ, given that they're excited about their new coach. We'll have to wait and see. Recruiting class-wise, obviously, Florida State feels pretty excited. Where are you at? Where are you guys at with Miami? And where are you at with UCF?
Don't get me started on UCF. But I do. Miami probably feels the best because they, I'm sure they believe in their head coach, but we'll see. We'll see,
well,
if
they believe
he can crack
in the billionaire that's donating to the cause.
We'll see if he can crack the code that has been lost for 20 years down there. But yeah, I mean, you know, they just lost to Florida State though. So I don't know. I guess they feel better. They can probably think that that was a fluke loss. I don't think that. They're all even. It's coming down the stretch, man. You can say that Florida's a little bit ahead of Florida State or Miami's a little bit ahead of Florida State. The point of the matter is nobody's leaps and bounds ahead of either any of them. Nobody's lapped the other. You're in the race with all of them.
Well, yeah, that's why it was still important that they do well. That's why so many people were excited that it was an opportunity for Florida State to spring ahead, because Florida's in a state of disarray, in flux at the very least. So is Miami. Florida State had stability within the coaching ranks and an opportunity to seize a recruiting class that would separate them. They still had a good recruiting class, but it's not the one they thought they were going to have. And I think that's why people were wringing their hands. But to your point, Corey, yes, the stretch between 1, 2, and 3 is very marginal, to say the least. Yes.
Yeah, I think the advantage Florida State right now has is continuity and consistency, and the fact that they've got a staff that's been in place for a couple of years to move forward. But kind of going back to the same comment we made before, we were talking about with the portal, part of the excitement about the portal is the unknown. And so if you're a Miami fan or a Florida fan, you're excited because maybe Cristobal is the answer to all their problems. If you're a Florida fan, maybe this guy kind of takes you to a different level that you didn't think you were going to get to with Dan Mullen. For a Florida State fan, you're like, okay, we're in the middle of this process, so there is something positive about the fact that the staff's been together for a couple of years. On the other side, you haven't seen a ton to feel like you've made any kind of major headway to step apart. So I'm with Corey. I think they're all kind of in a pretty level spot. It would have been nice if Florida State could have capitalized on what's going on at Miami the last year in Florida. But we haven't seen a result of that yet.
Michael writes, can Noel Nation make a resolution to stop saying fire Norvell? But for real, what do you guys think we should do specifically in regards to the NIL? Because to me, teams like Alabama, Texas A&M, and Georgia simply just give money and put them in commercials. Jeff has said for years, cheat before people even knew what NIL was. And Corey supports Payne. So specifically what? How, the mechanisms, et cetera. What does Florida State do to give themselves a chance in the NIL?
Real quick, I would just say there's two different steps to this. A first big one is something has to happen with legislation. You know, we have to understand that Florida, the state of Florida, and a few other states are operating a different standard or different policies than the rest of the country.
Different set of rules.
Yeah, Florida has a law on the books right now where the university can't be part of the process. Like FSU as a university, the coaching staff, they can't help set up NIL deals. They can give some guidance. They can help out in some circumstances after the deal's in place, but they can't actually say that, hey, Jordan Travis, here's a deal for you. Whereas a lot of these schools in states that don't have a law, because the NCAA just threw up their hands at the end of last summer, they can do that. So they can say, hey, you know, here's a deal. Here's a deal with this dealership. You're going to make this much money. Now, they can't use it in recruiting right now. Nobody officially can use it in recruiting right now, whether you're in Florida or Texas or anywhere else. But we all know that, you know, look, I mean, that's probably happening. So the first part of it is a law has to be put in place in Florida to open it up like these other states. Or if a national law gets on the books to where everybody has to go by the same procedures, that's one step. The second step, though, is going to be the bigger problem. The bigger hurdle for Florida State is the same reason Florida State, if they wanted to cheat, couldn't pay players as much as maybe some of these schools in the SEC that want to cheat, is because you just don't have necessarily that many boosters and businesses who are going to pour in the money to do it. Now, I think the gap can be closer than what it looks like right now. I don't think it's as desperate as it looks. But if Texas or Texas A&M or Oklahoma or those schools with that oil money want to pay players, or Alabama, $1 million a year, I don't know that a school like Florida State's ever going to have the infrastructure to do that. I just don't see that happening.
And not many will.
Right.
You know, Florida State's on the bigger boat in that arena. There's only about 10 that would care enough or have enough money to pay those types of salaries.
That's the key. I said it on yesterday's Jeff Cameron show just for giggles. I said, if this all becomes about solely money, and who's decided to invest their endless cachet of money into buying the best players and creating a system by which they have a annual recruiting class that is better than everybody else's, well, then nobody's ever going to beat Stanford or Harvard or Notre Dame again. Because correct. All of them have more money than everybody we just named.
And imagine if Harvard became a powerhouse.
Legitimately, they'd have to care to do it. But, I mean,
well, and here's the reason Florida State and a lot of schools in their position need this to go to a different structure overall is because those SEC schools and the Big Ten schools make so much money from their TV deals now that they can tell their boosters to not, hey, instead of giving us $2 million, give it to NIL deals. Whereas a school like Florida State and the ACC, the payout is so much less from TV. They need all of that money to go towards the program. So that's, again, that's where these – it's not just how much money is flowing into those schools just in general, but specifically because ESPN's paying those SEC schools so much more money than they're paying the ACC schools. They can divert that money to NIL instead of having it go directly to the players. So it's a problem. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there's no way around it. It's going to be a problem for a lot of schools.
And that money gap has been a problem for a while, not just with players. It's facilities, coaching salaries, control analysts. It's been a problem for a while now.
But before, you know, Jimbo made this comment, before those schools had to do it under the table. They had to do it through nefarious means or whatever, you know, against the rules. But now, literally, if you've got a booster who wants to give $1 million to a school and you just say, no, man, just put it towards a couple of offensive linemen, well, they can do that.
Eric writes, Happy New Year's, gentlemen. The three of you always seem to have a good time together on air. Insightful, humorous at times while still being professional. Honest question, has there ever been a time where two of you wanted the other to do something that they just didn't want to do? So much so that they took off their shirt, threw it in the air, and threatened to quit in the middle of the broadcast. If the answer is no, which it clearly is since none of you are Antonio Brown, what line would have to be crossed to elicit such a reaction?
I've never been a big fan. We did it forever. Was the early morning shows. I was always almost Antonio Brown did a few times. Like, oh, let's just do it at 8 in the morning. Oh, awesome. Whose idea is that? But that's the only one. I can't think of anything else.
That would have been great if you just tore off your clothes and stormed off in your skivvies. What were you thinking, Jeff, in that moment? I mean, look, I know you weren't a big fan of it. You and Tom were not a big fan of Antonio Brown signing.
No.
But he did help you win a world championship, whatever you call it in the NFL. A
Super Bowl. National champion. Neither one of those.
He helped you win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Right?
So when you watched that unfold, I mean, what was your thought? What was your thought in the moment?
I thought, well, that's the end of Antonio Brown in Tampa. I mean, I couldn't have predicted that he would take off his shoulder pads and his shirt and do jumping jacks in the end zone mid-game. But I certainly did first guess that at some point this would end badly because it always has everywhere Antonio Brown has ever been. He's never had a satisfying departure from the organization or his teammate's standpoint because he's insane. And, you know, we can get in, well, and sometimes worse than that. So, you know, I knew there would be a balance between understanding that, hey, your team gets hurt because he's a unique talent. There's no doubt about that. But also you had to know eventually this was going to happen because it always does. And, you know, I heard a lot of people say it yesterday. I even mentioned that I'm not going to dance on a guy's grave. Obviously, he's mentally ill, but you don't have to tolerate it. You don't have to give a guy 47 chances to make sure he takes his meds. Let's go. You've got money. You have resources. Go get the help you need because you're obviously freaking insane. What do you do?
That was classic. That was classic. I don't know if I was on the side of the road at that moment. No, I was. I was not. I came back on Monday, but I didn't see I wasn't watching the game, but I just saw it on Twitter in all the different camera angles. That's the great thing about this era that we live in, where you've got 40 different cameramen, camera women in the stands with their phones, shooting all the different vantage points of him.
I actually did. I'll tell you what I did. I was watching it live when it happened. I was kind of confused about who was over there, and then I realized it was Antonio Brown. And I can't say I was surprised. I turned to my son. I go, well, he's gone. And he said something to me along the lines of, you sure they'll cut him? I'm like, yep, pretty sure this is a cuttable offense. I don't think you're going to come back from this one, my man. Quitting mid-game and doing jumping jacks in the end zone while your offense is on the field, not a good idea.
And that's a wrap on his career. I mean, there's no NFL team. And I know we're all cynical about if you can play, they're interested. And of course, literally as Brady's watching that highlight, he's like, oh, the Falcons could get him. I'm like, buddy, you don't want any of this right now, man. He's just not, he's not sustainable. This isn't tenable. He's not
stable.
Yeah, he's not stable. That's probably his end of his career. Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, by the way, Mayan King writes correctly here in the chat, salute to Mike Tomlin for somehow getting 9 years out of that guy. You're right. I think everybody has learned subsequently that that was a minor miracle. And all, and like none of the teammates that played with him seem to have really stepped up for him in Pittsburgh. They have subsequently. Brady has big time in Tampa. But none of the guys in Pittsburgh are like, oh, yeah, it's real shame. They were like, well, it's about damn time. So, you know, I don't know. That must have been a nightmare. Robert writes, gentlemen, how are you feeling about the upcoming baseball team? Also, what do you think of the transfers? Love the show. I'm only going to say this about the upcoming baseball season. I've said it before on this show, and I talked to you guys about it. My oldest son played on the same Little League baseball team this year as David Ross's son. I was talking to David about baseball, about college baseball, pro baseball. It's just really cool to be able to sit there and have that conversation. And he said to me, because he knew I'd care, hey, man, do you realize what Florida State has from an arms standpoint? And I said, no, why? And he, I mean, I did, but not to the degree that he would. He said, well, basically, I'm paraphrasing, but he was saying that his scouts with the Cubs told him that Florida State might have the most MLB-ready arms in all the ACC and maybe top five in the country.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, can they hit and field?
Well, they've tried to change the roster because of that very thing. I mean, they've basically flipped the roster because they got tired of striking out 15 times a game. So put the ball in play and strike a bunch of people out is a good formula.
Yeah, I mean, I'm more excited about this team than I was last year. There were some guys in the team. I mean, look, I'm not going to kill Nander DeSantis and a couple of the guys that had been on the team for a few years, but just it was hard to get excited because you had seen so much history. It's like we're talking about the guys in the portal. The fact that they're bringing in so many guys, some new transfers, some guys that have done it in other places, seems to be a little bit more excited about this baseball team, in my opinion, than I had going into last year. So I'm excited to see, and I know they're excited about it, so I do want to see it.
I don't want to speak for Corey, but I will. So here's the deal. Like, we love watching Florida State baseball, and I've always been excited to go over there and watch them. But the last couple of years with all the swing and miss, beyond the norm of the modern game and the modern approach to hitting, it really got to be impossible. Yeah. And it was brutal. I could not enjoy watching Florida State baseball, not being an embittered fan or alumnus or anything else, just like literally I couldn't watch them. The games sucked. Even when they won, it was hideous. I couldn't do it because they couldn't hit the ball at all. So I'm so relieved to hear that that's going to change this year. And then obviously I'm excited about the arms. I'm always excited to see if they can pitch. But when you hear some of the descriptors of some of the guys that they have, then you get really excited about the chance that they could win the ACC and go back to Omaha.
Yeah, so it was tough. Like they were top five in the nation in strikeouts for their pitching staff, and they're also top five in the nation in strikeouts as an offense. So every game was 28 strikeouts total, or 30 strikeouts, or 27 strikeouts. Especially the ACC, you're facing real arms.
Yeah.
And they just didn't put the ball in play. So they could be a really – tough watch. But yeah, they're supposed to be able to put the ball in play and field pick it up better. So let's hope they do.
Seminole headlines, headliner questions, all coming up next. Stay with us, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Seminole headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
All right, boys, back to questions. This time around, we'll head over to Twitter. It looks like, it writes Bush League, looks like the staff is addressing offensive line and wide receiver needs through the transfer portal. One area of concern I don't feel that was brought up on early signing day or since is linebacker. Where do we stand on improving this segment?
I mean, they are looking at the transfer from UCF, who is originally from Miami. Randy Shannon signed him at UCF. Had 100 tackles last year, and he's in the portal. Looks like it. I mean, Miami, he may end up going to UM. He's a Miami kid, played at Miami Central, or Florida State, certainly in the mix. They definitely want to get at least one linebacker, but I don't think it's a position where they're going to go crazy and try to get two or three. I really think they're looking for the right fit at one linebacker.
Plus, Leonard Warner could always move back.
Good point, Corey. Good
point. And he's coming back, so there you go. That's like getting another kid in the portal.
Ira, let's expound further. Why are they not hyper-focused on finding multiple linebackers? Because God knows they need it.
I don't know that. I mean, I think they like the one kid. What's his name? 20.
Kalen DeLoach?
Kalen DeLoach. Man, I just had a mind freeze there.
Well, it's not football season. It's once you fade away. Yeah.
Man, I think they like Kalen DeLoach.
Yeah, that's one.
I don't know, man. I think when you look at their needs, I think you've got Gaynor. I think they'd love to get Gaynor to a position where he could play more in the box as an inside linebacker. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. He is coming back this season. I don't know, man. I just don't get the impression that they're – maybe I'm wrong, but I just don't think they're going to go out and try to sign two or three linebackers. I think they're going to try to find one that really can fit in with those guys and then the guys they've got coming up who are behind them. I mean, they've got some – they are going to sign a lot of guys in the portal, but I don't think they're going to – they've got a lot of huge needs. I mean, they already have six, I think, in. They've still got to hit defensive end. They may take a quarterback. We'll see. I mean, maybe they will get two. I just don't think it's going to be more than maybe.
Yeah, no, I'm not blaming you. I'm just questioning openly that decision if that's the route they go, because I think their linebacker play is substandard, and I don't see a ton of hope on the horizon there. So not early on anyhow. So I would hope, just hoping, that they do look towards having more than one that they sign here. Will Matthew Cleveland be a one and done, or do you think he's back next season, writes Bishop?
I mean, right, he obviously had a really nice game last time out. What do you have, 15 and 10 or 13 and 10?
He was great. Yeah.
13 and 10.
And so he's got that ability. Coming into the year, he was the guy that I think people around the program thought if somebody was going to be a one and done, it might be him. But he has, it's hard to say. I mean, there hasn't been a ton of production. People will say, oh, there wasn't a ton of production with Scotty Barnes either. Scotty Barnes is a little bit different level of in terms of his frame than maybe Matthew Cleveland is. But no, I mean, he's definitely got the ability. If it's not one and done, it'll probably be two and done. I mean, he's definitely a super talented kid that the NBA really is excited about.
I'm of the opinion now that if you're draftable at all, and I assume Matthew Cleveland is draftable at some point, that you're going to go. So I just assume this will be his only year, and then hope if you're a Florida State fan that he comes back.
Although I don't know about that though, because in his situation, he is a guy that if he really develops, he could be a top seven pick, top six, top seven pick. I don't know. It's one thing for Raekwon Gray or somebody else like that. I don't know that they would ever get to that level. But
I'm not saying it'll be a smart decision. I'm just assuming that if they have a chance to be drafted, they'll. I mean, Malik Beasley. Well, number one, he's. By the way, Malik Beasley, if you played basketball with him on a normal run in an open gym.
I'd destroy him.
Well, I know you would. You just back him down and say, get some of this.
Right.
He is the most athletic person. One of the most athletic people I've ever seen in a building. He is an athletic freak, a marvel. And in the NBA, he's just a standstill corner shooter. It's just crazy. Like his athleticism doesn't even get – highlighted in the NBA because they're all like him. It's just nuts. I was just thinking about that the other day when I was watching him. He went into the paint and then kind of backed out instead of going up for a shot because he thought he'd get it blocked. I'm like, man, you're one of the top 0.01% of athletes in the world. And he's not, he's still not good enough. He's not athletic enough against some of those guys.
To stand out athletically.
Yeah, he's ordinary. You're correct.
But he's insanity if you played him in a real gym. You'd be like, what is this?
By the way, FSU at Wake Forest, 7 o'clock tonight. That's at the Lawrence Joel Coliseum in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And that will be on, if you've got Xfinity Cable, 401. You'll be able to watch that, by the way.
For sure, because it doesn't – on the scroll, on the guide, it looks like it's hockey. So people are a little concerned.
I think it's going to be on. I would tune in. I think it's going to be right. Yeah, I think we're going to be all right. Also, can you name the all-time series record there, Corey, against Wake Forest?
Oh, 18 and 31.
Florida State is 29 up and 25 down.
Oh, all right. I guess they've won a boatload here recently, haven't they, after the Chris Paul years.
They've won 13 of the last 15. Wake Forest wants none of this. It's been one ass kicking after the other, Corey. You besmirched this program again.
That's my fault.
Goodness gracious, sir. It's lopsided even. Let's go back to this. I got to meet the legend Ira Schaffel at one of Tallahassee's fine gas stations on Christmas Eve.
Oh, boy.
Super nice guy, writes Catwalker. As he was filling up his big gulp, I wondered what the go-to gas station purchase was for the headlines trio for road trips. Cat goes on to mention that he loves beef jerky.
So the best part about that was, and I'm assuming his name's not really Catwalker, but maybe it is. But anyway, was the fact that he, as we're walking in, he goes, would Corey be seen at this gas station?
Or would he be scared?
Yeah, and I was like, no, there's no way in hell.
This was, it night? Was it night?
It was daytime, but, you know, man, it was.
It was about to be dark, Corey. You'd have to get home.
Yeah,
it was absolutely one of those gas stations with a shape in its logo. And
yeah,
I know that's not up to your high standards, so no, you wouldn't have been there.
It shouldn't be up to any of y'all's high standards. We deserve better in the fair city of Tallahassee, Florida, than what they give us gas station-wise.
As far as best snack, man, that's a I'm, you know, prepackaged guy. I mean, I'm not a big I'm trying to think if I've ever gotten boiled peanuts from a gas station. I've seen them before. I don't think I'm ready to make that.
No, that's not your go-to then. What do you get? You usually get your big gulp or whatever that thing is called.
Yeah, usually that. If I'm on the road though, if I've got to get a snack, maybe a Zero Bar or a whatchamacallit. Those are my two candy bars that are that hit the spot.
The rare Zero Bar reference, going strong on a Zero Bar. Wow.
Since COVID, I've been on a Cheetos kick, which are good for you too, I think. That's what I like most about them. They're good for you. They're good for you.
Especially as it pertains to combating COVID. I think
absolutely. The antidotes in there. So Cheetos, and then you Diet Pepsi, Diet Coke, something like that. But usually Cheetos, and if I'm going to go sweets, it's Reese's Sticks.
Yeah, I'm going to be a snooty ass here.
We go. He doesn't go to gas stations. Oh, if they have lettuce, I'll get some lettice.
I don't eat food at a gas station.
If Whole Foods opens up along I-75, then Jeff Cameron might actually be able to eat.
Otherwise he's going to just swallow his own spit until he gets to where he's going.
I would buy, you know, I might buy a drink. Yeah, I'm with you on that. But he's talking about a go-to snack. A drink's not a snack. And no, man, I'm not getting anything from a gas station. I'm not.
When's the last time you had a Little Debbie?
I was probably in high school.
Oh, you're missing out, Jeff.
Well, I haven't had a Little Debbie since
the Christmas tree
either.
Little Debbie, you can't have one of those?
No.
You only live once.
Hey, so
get a little fake cream and coloring in your diet.
War Chant TV did note that I did get sandwiches at the Pan. Those are handmade, and I would tell you something about the fine folks at the Pan. They make their own bread. True story. The Pan on Capitol Circle, the specific couple that owns it, are the most wonderful people ever. They should pay me because this is – I'm not – they don't endorse it.
They should pay us.
They make their own bread and they make sandwiches.
They're nice people. I've been in that gas station as well. I just don't know. They got a bakery back there? I mean,
They make their own bread, Ira, I'm telling you. And if you don't believe me, go get a sandwich tomorrow from there. And it's life-changing. They're really good. Now,
and at Circle K, they make their own bullets.
So – most gas
stations. Am I allowed to say that? Yeah,
no.
Most gas stations. Sorry.
Yeah. Byron writes, I knew the NIL would change the game, but hearing that Jimbo and Texas A&M threw around somewhere between $20 and $30 million for this recruiting class, well, that sounds insane. How do we compete against that? Well, I don't know that they did that.
Did you see the post on the message boards? It went viral yesterday on social media because a guy posted on, I don't know if it's Orange Bloods or one of the other message boards, one of Texas A&M rivals, who said he works on the staff at one of the schools, and he kind of outlined how Texas A&M has got this class that they've got, and basically was like they put together this plan as soon as it became legal to do NIL, where they basically assign. This is a guy. I mean, it's an anonymous message board. Who knows if
it's
true or not?
And it's on Orange Bloods, by the way. So no doubt they're real pleased with Texas A&M right now.
But it seems feasible just because of the class that they put together. But basically, they had like this whole plan where they assigned recruits to boosters to set up on NIL deals. And the only reason I think it's funny is because we had just had this conversation in our last show before the break about this recruiting class Texas A&M's put together. The first year that NIL is in existence, they've got this recruiting class. Did you guys watch the Under Armour All-America? I'm sure you guys did. I'm not even going to ask. I know you guys watched the Under Armour.
Yeah, man. I watched it twice.
Half of the players in that game are Texas A&M signees. It's they've got like the number one or two or three defensive linemen, linebacker, receivers, running. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane what this class is. Just so happens to be the first year of the NIL era. So good work, Jimbo. Congratulations.
Well, they didn't get the number one player in the country. He didn't go to Texas.
No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. But that class is going to go down as the greatest signing class in the history of college football. It's
it doesn't count. Doesn't count.
To go 10-3 every year.
Well, I think at some point you could accidentally win the national championship if he's going to sign that class every year.
No question.
It's just ridiculous. Andrew writes, win expectations for next year, guys, as in number of wins.
8.
Hmm.
I think if they're less than
you got
8,
that win over, you rocking that win over LSU there, Corey, early?
Oh, man, I ain't scared of that team. Why would you be? You don't know who their quarterback's going to be. It's going to be the Miles Brennan kid, first-year coach, first-year coordinator. Come on. I mean, look, at some point, growing a program matters, and I don't think you could look at this roster when it's all said and done, assuming they get what they need to do on the defense. Like, if they don't make any more transfer portal hits, then cut my number by 2. But I do think they're going to get better on the defense through the transfer portal. And, yeah, I don't think there's any reason. The whole offense comes back. You got better at wide receiver. You should be better on the offensive line. Your quarterback's now started 15 games in his career. Yeah, I think you should. I think 8 wins is certainly within reason.
You look at the team you saw over the last 7-8 weeks, you know, they won 5 of the last 8 games. I really feel like that's the team they probably could have been for the entire year, except for the whole quarterback. Just they had a hard time figuring that situation out, and they had a couple injuries on the offensive line early. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a team that should be able to compete in every game. They didn't get blown out much this season, which was a huge step from the last 2 seasons. And, the last 3 seasons, really. And, I think they need to be in that ballpark of 7-8 wins. I mean, it's year 3. I mean, I know they lost some, and I know you can't – I know, Jeff, you've been saying all along that this roster still isn't where it needs to be, and this is still a process, and I get that. But people also do need to see some results. I mean, they have to start winning more games than they're losing.
They were that far off this year. Like, 5 of their losses were to 10-win teams or better. Well, if you count NC State is a 10-win team.
Well, they are.
They're counting it. Hey, you can't play. That's our win. That's our dub. Yeah. We're 10 wins. But, you know, 5 of their losses were to 10-win teams. 3 of them were to 11-win teams, or 2 of them were to 11-win teams. So, and those games weren't blowouts.
Later on, we'll get into if we want to have fun with percentages. I mean, obviously, we would say 100% chance they beat Duquesne. The Dukes aren't rolling into Doak, folks, and getting a win there. So, I'll give them a win there. But it does get interesting because you're at a conference, of course. You have Florida, which you always have, and you do play them in Tallahassee. But – Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns don't suck at all. And, of course, you have LSU as well at a conference. And I don't know, man.
Well, the nice thing there, though, you do – I mean, not nice thing, but Louisiana is having a coaching change. They're hiring from within, but Napier left. They also have to replace their quarterback, I believe, who was a stud. And there's a lot of these teams, especially in the non-conference schedule, that are – you know, Florida's going to have probably a new quarterback. We'll see what happens there. But they have a new head coach. Miami's got a new quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of transition for a lot of the teams they're playing. So, again, man, if Jordan Travis takes another step and becomes the guy they think he is, I think, you know, it's unfortunate.
With some weapons outside.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate the LSU game's in New Orleans because I do think Florida State's in a better position right now than where LSU might be from a big picture standpoint with the coaching change and some of the guys are leaving their program. But it will be in New Orleans. It'll be a road game.
Yeah, I go back to what we talked about. The bottom line here is you got no chance to win 7 or 8 games if you don't get this defensive line bolstered. So it's all about this transfer portal. You better get some guys in like you did last year.
Yeah.
Keir Thomas and Jermaine Thomas changed everything about who Florida State was. So if they don't get something, maybe not akin to that, but something close, they're going to have a hard time getting stops because they're not great at linebacker and they won't have the depth or talent up front. And so that you know, listen, that's I'm going
to
be
it's
watching.
Why, it's why these questions are hard to answer January 4th in the new world of college football. We have no idea what this roster will look like 2 weeks from now, much less 8 months from now. So That's why, or what LSU will look like, or what Miami or Clemson will look like. We have no idea right now.
By the way, before we break, don't forget Horizons Bar and Grill. If you're here in Tallahassee, you want to swing on by and get yourself some tasty goodness. It's been too long since I've been there with the holiday break and traveling and all that. I'm beginning to miss it, quite literally miss it. I can't wait to go there. Maybe later in the week as we get towards Friday, get an ice cold beer. They've got a good selection of Florida brews as well as others outside the state. And then, of course, you could belly up to a nice bar with four big televisions right there. And then, of course, you go sit in the booth. They had televisions everywhere. Yeah. So you got the games on. You're not going to miss anything. And then the food is fantastic. I already talked about the 30A with the chicken, and also the whatchamacallit Springs chicken is good too. We'll call it Springs chicken, whatever yes. What the hell that's called. That's delicious. I also get the shrimp. So there's so many choices. We want to thank our friends at Horizons and remind you, since you guys are, many of you, watching or listening on 93.3 here in town, just to swing on over and get yourself some food to go.
Yeah, it might be a good place to watch the Georgia National Championship game, too, on Monday night. Just big throwing win. That out there.
Is that where big the Tallahassee chapter of the Georgia Alumni Club is meeting?
That's a good question. I don't know. And I don't know if I'm actually available to go out and watch. I don't know if that's in with my window of the new CDC guidelines.
So Ira and I will go together in your honor, Corey, and we'll wear Georgia gear and cheer wildly. One thing we won't do is watch a team get up 17-0 and say, well, we got no shot. Got no shot. Because that's what you would do.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah, if Georgia's up 17-0, I'm going to stop watching the game. There's no point. There's no enjoyment of that at all.
Seminole Headlines, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV continues in a moment. How you doing there, podcasters? Good. Good to hear it. Listen, if you're wondering for a good place to eat, watch a game, have a cold beer, enjoy a lot of choices, we suggest Horizons Bar and Grill.
Maybe even run into us.
You and I especially.
Yes.
I mean, I'm there once a week, I think. When I'm in town, I'm there. Stephanie and I are there. Great place. Cold beer, hot women, everything you want in a I probably shouldn't have said that.
No, it's okay.
Hot beer and cold women.
Whatever you're into.
I like the good-looking ladies, too. That's sure, all right. But even if that's not your thing, I'll be there. I'm a good-looking guy.
And we would all agree, great food. Legitimately
good food.
The most
important part of this ad is the great food.
It's great food. They got TV, sports bar. They got the vibe, but beer, food, everything you could want. And most importantly, again, other than the food, is that there is at least, I'd say, a 35% chance one of us would be there.
And you get the mac and cheese bites.
And you can get those shrimp tacos, which are the king. You've gotten healthy on me lately.
I eat the hummus.
Who eats really that? Good. He does. At Horizons Bar and Grill.
I didn't know I like hummus. Maybe I don't, but Horizons got some great hummus.
But you look for them on their website. You can see their happy hour specials. Just a great place to hang out. And it's if you want to like a little upscale dinner, you can go in there for that as well. It's at Bannerman Crossing at the right off of Thomasville Road and Bannerman, up there on the northeast Tallahassee.
Tell them Headlines sent you.
Well, the important thing is support the people who help support Seminole Headlines. That's Horizons Bar and Grill. And thanks for listening to the podcast.
Woo!
Seminole Headlines is brought to you by Register Sausage, serving the Florida Panhandle and Lower Alabama for over 75 years. To find a store near you or to buy directly from Registers, head to registermeats.com. That's registermeats.com.
Seminole Headlines returns now. Head to YouTube and search for War Chant TV today to catch the show live or on demand. Now, here's Jeff Cameron, Ira Schofel, and Corey Clark.
It's a long one for you, Corey. Gordon writes, Happy New Year's, fellas. My resolution is to stop yelling at the media display in my car as I drive around listening to the Seminole Headlines podcast days later and actually address issues that are unresolved. With that in mind, I want to commend Jeff for attempting to explain the Gasparilla theme to Corey. To Corey, it's not a boat parade. It's a pirate invasion. Historically, pirates did not float up and down rivers when they pillaged a seaside village. They docked their vessels, stormed ashore, and wreaked havoc on land. That's why ye mystic crew of Gasparilla doesn't float up and down the Hillsborough River in the manner you saw the Lightning and the Bucks celebrating their championships. On the morning of the Gasparilla Festival, the replica pirate ship loaded with drunken rich guys dressed as pirates sails into Tampa Bay and docks along a wharf on Bayshore Boulevard. Then the pirate crew storms off to City Hall, where the mayor surrenders the key to the city to Jose Gaspar, the fictional pirate skipper. At that point, the huge festival parades through the streets of downtown Tampa, and fun ensues. Beer, beads, breasts, public urination, and all the rest. There you go.
So basically the dumbest tradition I've ever heard of.
That's not true at all.
What are we doing?
It was when we were enjoying our vacation on Lake Lanier, Corey, and I got back safely. We made it back. We were not
good. Good. That's Camp Crystal Lake. For those that don't know, Lake Lanier basically is.
We went back out on the dock. We went on the dock at night one night just to kind of enjoy the night evening. And
did you hear some screams?
No, but there was a little boat in the water with a couple of lights. And they were low key. I guess they were doing some fishing, I'm guessing. But I was suggesting that maybe we should become pirates and take their boat from them. And then I thought, well, wait, what if they already are pirates on this boat? And then we roll up on them to be pirates of their boat, but they already are pirates. Maybe I'd be better equipped at being pirates than us. But I was thinking about the whole Gasparilla
tradition. I don't feel like pirates had those kind of thoughts, Ira. I just think they went.
Well, see, that's
I just don't like celebrating pirates like Tampa does, apparently. You guys love pirates.
They're pillaging. It is a port city. It is a celebration of the state's unique geographic principle. Yes, it's correct. But
is
a
buccaneer another name for a pirate?
Yeah. Buccaneers are swashbucklers. They're pirates, yes.
So they're lawbreakers.
Have you seen you seen their stadium?
They're also champions.
Yeah, you're right. It's a lot of lawbreakers in that stadium. I can promise you.
Hey, real quick, Tom Ortner mentioned in the chat with defensive end. We probably should have brought this up. Dennis Briggs, Adam Fuller said on signing day that they're looking at the possibility of Dennis Briggs moving back to defensive end. He spent the last year and a half at defensive tackle. He originally started as a defensive end. What are your guys' thoughts about that move? Could you see him? Obviously he's not going to be a 10, 12 sack guy at defensive end, but he's a really nice football player. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a good move? And do you think does that allay any of your concerns about defensive end? Assuming they've got Lovett and Cooper and some of those other guys at defensive tackle.
You said it right. He's a great very good football player, an emerging, very, very good football player. He's tough. He's quick. His first step, I like him a lot. So I'm not going to say he can't do something. It doesn't completely allay my fears. But yes, I don't.
He could be a part of the solution.
He could be part of your solution. Yes.
Well, he is one way or the other. He'll be playing for you next year. Wherever he's lining up, he'll get valuable snaps. But I don't think that's going to be – no, like Jeff said, that's not allaying anything because you still need some – you're losing 20 sacks from your two starting defensive ends. You got to find – you're not going to be able to replace all those maybe, but you can replace a good portion of them if you go make the right finds in the portal.
Alejandro writes, we said that Texas and Texas A&M could not just throw money at a problem, but now they might be literally throwing money at the problem and recruits – will this change our minds? I think Jimbo just showed what this recruiting and oil money can really do. And then he wants to know if we think they can win a national championship. Oh, sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you sign the best class in the country 3 years in a row, let's say, you got a good shot.
Now, some of those guys that you signed in year one that aren't playing in year three will be going somewhere else, but you're still signing great classes. And that's what gives me pause. I mentioned it in the last show, I think. That's what gives me pause about Miami. Is like, now that this is out there, like, getting players, acquiring players has always been the number one most important thing in college sports, period. Well, in sports in general. Get the best players, you got the best chance to win. Miami's had a real hard time getting the best players the last 20 years. Well, if all of a sudden you got money to throw at them to come play at your institution, it doesn't matter that they play 45 minutes away. It doesn't matter that they have a IPF that's 50 yards long and the facilities aren't up to snuff. They're getting paid. So that the player acquisition is the most important thing. And that makes me think that, I've always written off Miami, but this new world order kind of makes me think that, if they got somebody that can pay these guys.
The only thing I'd say, just having grown up in Miami, my belief is that the people that are putting up that money right now, that are talking the big game, that brought in Cristobal, that brought in Radakovic as the AD, they're going to want to see a return very quickly. The difference between the culture of Miami, the University of Miami, and also just living in Miami, it's a front runner town. That's not putting them down. It's just reality because it's a transient market. It's not like an SEC school where those people, because their daddy and their granddaddy and their they all went to school there.
Their mama, their grandmama.
They were going to put in all that money because that's what their family has always done. And even if they don't see results, they're going to keep pouring in that money. Miami's different, man. That's a different place. It's a different culture down there. If they don't see returns pretty quickly, you're not going to see those people just writing checks year after year after year, in my opinion, the way you do it at these SEC schools. So they better hit it right now while those people are ponying.
Plus, most of the Coke money doesn't even come through Miami anymore, does it, Ira? Is it coming through Texas now?
We have more Twitter questions, Jeff. Do we have more Twitter
questions? There are reports that Register Sausage could have stepped up in the NIL game if it had not been for the hefty price to advertise on Seminole Headlines. Would you fellas care to comment on that? No comment from
– No comment at all, other than we're going to get ours.
I think Ben wants to be involved in the NIL game. So that let's not shut the door on that.
We've been so good for Registers that they can afford to pay us our hefty salary.
Well, I also
we're the loss leader.
Yeah, and also go out and be a part of NIL now.
So when Ben starts doing that, most of the people on these board, on the WarChamp boards, or that are on our Twitter accounts, are certainly asking questions in the chat. Ought to begin by thanking us.
Right.
It should all start before any question. It ought to be like, gentlemen, as always, thank you so much for everything that you do. And then they could ask the next question if they wanted. But that's how it has to go.
If Caleb Williams came to Florida State, could he wear like Registers on his jersey? Could he have the Registers, the pig right there, the emblem on his jersey?
I don't think they'd let him put it on the jersey.
On his all right. Maybe shoes, something. Where are they going to find them?
FSU two times wants to know, which of the three of you disappointed your wife/girlfriend with their Christmas gift? Now, my question to you is, my wife or my girlfriend?
Yeah, which
two
one?
Thanks, guys. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So
different needs.
Specific? Yeah, okay.
How'd you guys do? How'd you guys do with the gift department?
I crushed it. I bought Stephanie some golf clubs, brand new set of golf clubs. Nice. So she's really fired up about that. She quilted me a blanket, an awesome World Series blanket with all these pictures of me and Brady from the games, box scores.
It's a
really cool present. It was really nice of her to do that.
Very cool.
Much more thoughtful maybe than my golf clubs, but mine costs a lot of money.
You're a guy who values things, and she values experiences and relationships. So it kind of stands
out. It works, doesn't it?
But I think she appreciates the golf clubs more than anything you could have handcrafted. No offense, Corey. But
true.
Could you handcraft anything, Corey?
Oh, I can handcraft something.
I served it up, and he was too much of a sucker. He just jumped right in.
I don't care. It's my COVID brain, man. I'm just going to blame it on COVID.
Oh, man.
Y'all didn't even answer. Did y'all even get good gifts? Did y'all knock it out?
Kim was happy with Kim was very happy with what we got her. I'm not going to go into all the details. It wasn't golf clubs. But no, she was really happy with the gifts that we got.
I too will not go into all the details, but I it was a slam dunk. It was great. It was fantastic. Awesome. So I was very happy. I don't know when he's going to have to point to me. I can't tell. I don't know how much longer we have. Are we done? We're done. He's shaking his head. Yes, we're done. We're done. For Ira, for Corey, I'm Jeff. Thanks for watching, everybody. Be well. Have a great night. We'll talk to you again next week. Peace.